From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, genetic modification of humans. Here's what's happening. If you own a drone, you're going to have to register it on the heels of an alarming study spotlighting the danger that drones pose to commercial aircraft. The FAA has now officially announced new regulations requiring drone registration in an effort to keep track of the soaring ownership. The online registration would apply to owners of small drones weighing more than a half a pound and less than 55 pounds, including payloads, such as onboard cameras, according to the FAA. The new rules would require drone owners to pay a $5 registration fee. Penalties go up to $27,000 for civil violations, $250,000 for criminal acts, with up to 3 years behind bars. So if you own a drone like that, you better register it. The Islamic State has reportedly issued a fatwa ordering the elimination, and this is one sick story, of children with Down syndrome and other congenital disabilities reminiscent of Hitler's days. According to an Iraqi activist, the Sharia judges have ruled that ISIS followers are authorized to kill infants with Down syndrome or these deformities. Already since the religious decree was issued, militants have apparently killed at least 38 kids between 1 week and 3 months old by lethal injection or suffocation. At least 41 police officers were killed Monday, some reportedly trapped after their bus flipped off a bridge in northern Argentina. Jeez. A man wielding two handguns was shot and killed at a Walmart store in Pennsylvania. The man walked into the store late Saturday night, started pointing a gun at people. Police came, killed the man after he refused to put his gun down. U.S. crude rose more than 2%, recovering slightly after moving within a hair of 11-year lows as record short interest led to technical covering on fears that the market declined way too fast. Catherine Austin Fitz, the managing member of the Solari Investment Advisory Services, with us. Catherine, how low can oil go, first of all? My gosh.
George, it can go lower. If you look at the technical charts, you know, once you break the $38 limit, you could go lower. You could see 28. I'm not saying that would happen, but we clearly haven't found a bottom. And if you look at the fundamentals, oil is facing a perfect storm. You have a global slowdown. You have a lot of the producers, because they have debt or overhead, you know, are continuing to pump into the face of the faller, lower prices. You have OPEC couldn't agree to a production ceiling. That's part of it. And then you have new developments in conventional technology and renewable technology, battery technology, all sorts of new technologies, all of it combining into a perfect storm. So you really have a global glut. And we face the fact that Iran could be coming online for much bigger production. So it's, you know, we probably haven't seen the bottom yet. And, this has surprised a lot of people. Oil's down in the last 18 months. The oil ETN's down 74%.
Jeez. Now, is this good for the economy? Is it good for individuals?
Well, it depends on who you are. I mean, it's good for consumers. They're getting relief at the gas pump. Manufacturing energy is a big, big input to manufacturers. So whether it's coal or gas, you know, this is giving tremendous relief. And obviously the transportation industry has benefited. So there are all different parts of the economy has benefited. The problem is, you know, take a look at the junk bond. Probably our biggest problem in the market is we're getting a spiral down in the junk bond market because so many people in the production in the energy sector have had big debt positions, and the problem is you've got a lot of producers who you need to continue to do what they do are really having trouble getting financing, both equity and debt, under these circumstances, and that's not good because you can harm the infrastructure that you need to do the business of the country.
Catherine, have you finished your Christmas shopping?
No, George.
It's next week.
More to do. Well, we got all the Christmas cards out on Friday. And you and your team will be getting Christmas cards sometime this week. So
okay.
It's coming in.
Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate everything you do for us. A University of New Hampshire chemist said he's developed a coffee that provides the same benefits to the heart as red wine. Glenn Miller infused coffee beans with resveratrol, the natural antioxidant found in the skins of grapes used to make red wine. He says the infusion happens during the roasting of the beans for his product to achieve its healthy heart effect. Isn't that something? As 2015 nears to an end, 850 earthquakes of magnitude 3 or greater have stirred the state of Oklahoma. Now, that's compared to 584 that they had in 2014, 109 in 2013. The trend is clear. Earthquakes there are on the rise. But why? Let's check in with Cal Ori, author of The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, the story about Jim Berkland. Cal, what do you think's going on in Oklahoma? Is it fracking?
Yeah, pretty much. From what I've been looking at, it's man. We're doing it. It's the effects of injecting wastewater into the underground. We're messing with the ground, and what happens is it stirs up quake faults that haven't been active for a long time. And actually, back in 2011, November 5th, they had a 5.6. Do you remember that?
Yes, sure do.
Yeah, that was felt all the way in Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and it was on Wasalta Fault. Two people were injured. It destroyed 14 homes. And they're saying that if they continue to do this, that it can trigger quakes on faults that haven't moved in a long time. And actually, in about 1,300 years ago, there was a 7.0 in Oklahoma.
Ugh, that's so big.
Yeah, yeah. And you know the New Madrid zone is east. So they're playing with fire.
All right, we're going to see what happens on this one. I predict, like you, Cal, something's going to happen. We've got a story in the news. You've got to go take a look at it and read it. With the world's annual celebration of his birth just a week away, it turns out that one of the most important figures who ever walked the earth likely didn't look like the pictures of him. British scientists using forensic anthropology, similar to how police solve crimes, have stitched together what they say is probably the most accurate image of Jesus Christ's real face. And he's not the skinny figure most of us are used to seeing. So go take a look at it. It is a very strange picture to look at. When you think of Jesus, you think of all these incredible pieces of art. Nope. But go take a look. This is what they think he looked like. Astronomers have discovered what appears to be a tiny star with a giant cloudy storm using data from NASA's Spitzer and Kepler space telescopes. The dark storm is akin to Jupiter's Great Red Spot, which is a persistent raging storm larger than planet Earth. Elon Musk, of course, saying that mankind may only have a brief window to set foot on Mars before a disaster such as a third world war makes it no longer possible. The founder of SpaceX, which is the first private company to resupply the International Space Station, fears that such a war could set back technological advancements. His company is preparing to announce an ambitious plan for rocket and space technology to carry humans to the red planet. Our science advisor, Robert Zimmerman, with us. So what do you think of Elon Musk saying that we got to get to Mars fast, Robert?
Well, this isn't even news in a sense. It's just him stating what he's been saying for probably 2 decades since he started his company back in the aughts. He wants to get to Mars, and he wants to have humanity the colonizing other planets so that we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. His company is talking about what he calls a BFR and a BFS. That's standing for Big Falcon Rocket, Big F Spaceship. And they're going to propose something. I've seen a simulation of what it would be, and one speculation is that it would make the Falcon 9 rocket look like a little model rocket. I'm not sure that's what's going to happen. I do know that this coming weekend they're going to try once again to land that first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket, and so they can reuse it.
Well, they did well last time.
And I do know they're going to try to do a Falcon Heavy launch for the first time early next year. And those two components alone is going to make getting to Mars possible, George, very possible and very affordable and very soon.
Well, he makes it sound so urgent, though, Robert, that we got to leave the planet and leave it now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if you read the news on a daily basis, there's something to be said for the need to have another colony that's self-sustaining, either in space or on another planet. That's not going to happen tomorrow, by the way, but the sooner we can make it happen, I think, for the human race, the better off we're going to be.
Check out Robert's website, behindtheblack.com. Thank you, Robert. A Polish priest tried to give one of the country's top newspapers there an exorcism amid a protest over its alleged bias coverage. That's what he wanted to do. Up next, we're going to talk about predictions for next year. Linda Sherman back on Coast to Coast, and get ready for her next. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got a great couple hours here for you with Linda Sherman, author, researcher, astrologer. She serves as a clientele that includes corporations, finance service companies, private individuals, and many of her predictions have been very right on with regards to the economy, climate change, political cycles. She's also the publisher of an online newsletter, founded her website, soothsayer.com, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, Linda, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, George. It's always a pleasure. Even with the dark predictions, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, I know.
George.
We're going to get some of those from you. I was looking over them today, and I'm going, come on, tell us something nice and fun, but it's not there. It's not there. What have you been up to?
No, it isn't there. Well, there are some positives, some hopeful things. So I really want to interject that, but I think, as I've said on past broadcasts for the listeners, astrology is a study of astronomical events in relationship to issues and themes historically that rise in our lives. The big factor, of course, is what choices and decisions we make as human beings in the management of our lives in relationship to these cycles, which may be foreordained, but the future is never absolutely foreordained. And as we all know, as your previous guests were discussing, we're in big trouble in on so many different fronts in so many different ways. But being an eternal optimist, I also think that we may invent our way out of many of these crises.
Well, we're the ones who put ourselves in this mess, aren't we?
Exactly. Exactly. We're the ones that have done it to ourselves. Sometimes it seems when all the great religions, which now seem to be at odds with one another, have at their center the golden rule, all of them believe in something greater and kinder, believe that human beings should be working in concert with the earth and in cooperation with each other. And guess what we've got? Religious wars, hate, all over the place. And it's like we've gone insane. And one of the big factors is climate change. What so many people, when we talk about the meltdown, literally meltdown in the Middle East today, we don't realize that the Arab Spring Rebellion in 2011 was started in Tunisia by a food vendor who set himself on fire.
Right. It was over bread prices, wasn't it?
Exactly, George. Exactly. It was over escalated because the Middle East is drying up. The Tigris, Euphrates, and Nile rivers, the biblical rivers we've heard about all our lives, are drying up. So this food vendor was protesting the fact that they could no longer grow their own food because they can't water their crops. And so they had to import food, which made food prices very high. Also, in many of these nations, you have these young people with no jobs, no hope, no future.
Right.
And the temperatures are climbing. Last summer, the temperature in Iraq reached about 150 degrees. Incredible
never recorded before.
That's hot. Wow.
Yes, and it's something that is, we all talk about how much, you know, we're going to go get ISIS, and ISIS is an outgrowth of Al-Qaeda, and it's an outgrowth of the invasion of Iraq that we made. We disturbed and upset the entire Middle Eastern region in this process, and now things are just coming apart at the seams. This year, 2016, one of the major aspects that of importance is Saturn square Neptune opposition Jupiter. Those planets are what we call in a very tense relationship to one another. And this happens three times. Now, it happened recently at the end of November, early December, and guess what? There was an earthquake, a sizable earthquake in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
There was the terror attack in Paris. There was the terror attack in San Bernardino. And what a lot of people don't realize is there was a fusion, a nuclear fusion reaction in Germany, which is a good thing because, for one thing, I feel very passionately that by the 2020s, we are going to have nuclear fusion, hydrogen fusion, which is the holy grail of energy production,
right,
which will make obsolete the use of all fossil fuel.
Let's hope so.
And many of the physicists who actually have some friends of mine, they say, Linda, that's nice, but it's not going to happen soon enough. It's going to be delayed. It'll be 30 years from now. Well, the progress that's being made in this, which I have been publishing regularly on my newsletters, is monumental. A big breakthrough was recently made a couple of months ago at MIT having to do with fusion and conductivity. And all of these different sites that are working on this are making tremendous progress. And I just found out that just the other day, I had the article here, this same place in Germany that I spoke about that has what they call a Stellarator. They said Stellarator is a success, strange, twisted design that could finally make fusion power a reality. It switched on for the first time, taking us one step closer to physics' holy grail. This is where I have the optimism, is that the underlying causes for climate change, which is becoming more and more and more severe and affecting people and raising the question of whether we have brought ourselves to the edge of extinction, may be changed. Now, something else I do want to say, which is a little bit bigger and more far-reaching, taking us into 2017, I think we're going to have the big financial comeuppance. I think there, with all the economic fluctuations this year that are very negative, struggle with oil falling that you mentioned earlier. With and I, by the way, am a great fan of Catherine Austin Fitch.
Oh, she's
I know
great.
It's regular. I'm such a fan of her. She's one of the real truth tellers in the world today, and is not afraid. And she's brilliant, and she has the information. But I agree that they're going to be major economic struggles that we've already seen. I predicted that the art market would come down, which it has. I think the bond market is in major trouble, and we're going to have fluctuations. But the big crash, I think the powers that be are going to ward it off until after the election.
Can they? Do they have that ability to do that?
You know, that's a big looming question mark, because with Saturn to Neptune taking place the way it is, it's taking place again, even more powerfully connected to the chart of the USA the week of June the 12th. And then it's taking place again the week of September 10th, right before
sure.
the election. And Saturn represents order, and Neptune represents chaos. So the order is fighting chaos, and the question is going to be the cartel, which is engaged, as we've spoken in past sessions, in over $800 trillion of derivatives trades, worldwide, mostly connected to the United States. This cartel, which was never really regulated, I call them the banksters, because they have so much power in Washington. They financed people's campaigns, and they are so much in control. They have been gambling. We have massive debt. Some people feel the United States debt is Greece on steroids.
Hold on for a second, Linda. We'll come right back in just a moment. One of Linda's books, by the way, is called Fast Forward, Surviving the Race to the Future. We'll be back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Linda Sherman with us. We'll take phone calls with Linda next hour. Linda, let's go through a litany here of some issues. I want to get your thoughts and predictions for them for the coming year. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First and foremost, I'm curious with what you see about the 2016 presidential election. We've had a number of guests and psychics on who've talked about their thoughts. It looks like my prediction was that Donald Trump would start sinking. And if you look at Iowa and Ted Cruz's momentum, he is sinking. So I don't know, but I want your take. First of all, let's talk about the Republicans, and we'll talk about the Democrats, and then we'll talk about the whole picture. What do you think's going on?
Okay, first of all, I have not been able to get the time of birth. In order to do an astrological chart on each of these candidates, I have to have a confirmed, correct date, time, and place of birth. The exception to that is I happen to have Donald Trump's chart. With his ego, you would know that he would have that out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he has it out there. I think he is going to start to get into trouble. And the reason is the transit of Mars in Scorpio. Donald Trump is a Gemini with Leo rising and some planets in Cancer deposited in his 12th house. This tells me that half of the things that he says he doesn't really mean. he's just grabbing on to anything that's going to get him attention. I feel that in starting January 5th, when Mars goes into Scorpio and is there through March 6th, then it heads into Sagittarius and retrogrades, going back into Scorpio the end of May through early August. This is going to make it difficult for Donald Trump during this time. I wish I had the charts of the, I have their dates, but I don't have their times of birth.
The times are important, aren't they? How come?
Absolutely, because you cannot have an astrological chart without a time of birth, and it needs to be within 4 minutes.
Oh, really?
Four minutes. Yeah, that's the level of accuracy that we have to have. And this is why, through the years, so many astrologers have been wrong about elections, which is why I'm a lot more cautious unless I'm pretty sure that I have an accurate time. I felt that Obama would win because I had an accurate time. I had his the astrology organization that I belong to, they got a photostat of his birth, hospital birth record, so we had an accurate time on him. Hillary Clinton's time is disputed. One says around a little after 8 a.m. Another one says a little after 8 p.m. And this has us tearing our hair out in the astrological community. Oh, my gosh. If she is the 8 p.m., which I think works for her, she really has a solid chance. But I cannot say, because we don't really know who the Republican nominee is going to be.
We'll address this maybe in a few months with you.
Yes. I feel that, again, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, we have a chart for him.
All right, what's it say for him? I think he's out of the running, but what do you say?
He's out of the running, yeah. This Mars in Scorpio is not going to help him. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, again, I do not have a time of birth for them. If I did, I think I could see what would be going on here. but the Republicans, the center, more centrist Republicans, the party itself is just coming apart at the seams. And it's sad. There's some, they've had some terrific candidates, and these, it seems like these candidates that really are solid people with wonderful credentials and good ideas, they don't seem to have a chance. Why? Because people, in all honesty, at this point, they don't trust anybody anymore.
No, they don't.
Somebody, they don't. And Donald Trump says they're all a bunch of idiots and crooks and everything else. I haven't been in this, so I'm not tainted by them. And I'm a big billionaire CEO, which you cannot run a country like a corporation. Believe he's going to be up against Congress, the Supreme Court, and everything. Even if he should get elected, his own party would not be behind him.
Well, his biggest problem is his brashness. I mean, if he would tone it down, and tone it down a lot, instead of putting people down and making fun of people and just, you know, addressing the issues and talking about himself and what his plans are, I think he'd be doing much better. I mean, I think, and you're absolutely right, Linda, his popularity to date is based on people simply being fed up with everything. They don't want to take it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly true. And this is why Bernie Sanders has had a lot of traction in his party as well. In a sense, he's kind of been an outsider, and he, you know, and he does highlight the important issues, which, and again, I wish I had a time for him. I have a date for him, but I don't have a time for him. But he also has gotten thousands and thousands of crowds. But remember, Donald Trump knows how to manipulate the media. His name and his picture has been on television for hours and hours every single day. He gets more attention.
Free attention, too, by the way, Linda.
Pardon?
Free attention. He's not paying for it.
Absolutely free. He spent less. he's a very good money manager, George. He has spent less on this campaign than almost any of the other candidates. It's absolutely, they've had to raise a lot of money. And he's right. He doesn't have to take contributions. And he comes across as the quintessential outsider. But he comes up with, he says crazy, hateful things. And he'll say anything just to get attention or to get applause or whatever. We really don't know, to be honest. We think we know because he's so loud and he's what he really stands for. Or what he really is thinking, because his, but as we were saying, people are so fed up, they just don't want it the same old anymore. And they, I mean, we have half of this nation lives at or below the poverty line. We have all the money going to the 1% own the world, and they own the Congress. Is not only do they own everything and have so much power, but they pay for everybody's political campaigns. And Trump comes along and says, well, these guys aren't paying for me. But he is creating also dissension and hate. That's the last thing we need. And by the way, Donald Trump evaded the draft 4 times. For somebody who says, I love the military and I'm going to be the commander in chief. He really has, but none of them do, by the way. None of these present candidates, to my knowledge, ever served in the armed forces. Only the one Democrat that was
like,
running.
Not like the old days, is it?
No, because we did have a draft. A lot of things might be corrected if we actually had a draft, if actually men and women, let's put everybody into this pot, had to go away for 6 months after they were graduated from high school for some kind of military training. I think it would change things a lot.
But well, they do that in Israel.
They certainly do, and they have they are prepared in Israel. The men and the women are all have had training in the military. and are ongoing in that respect. The young people are still considered, even if they're not in the active military, they're military ready. So,
well,
you know, I think that I'm tired of hearing how all of them are going to blow up ISIS, which is like a virus. ISIS is akin to a virus. I'll make a prediction about ISIS.
Okay.
Is that probably
that was
going to
be my next question anyway. Go ahead.
Yes. What we're doing in Iraq is going to be effective enough that they may pick up and move to Libya and entrench themselves there in Libya. I think that's going to be their next big move, is to go. But guess what? Turkey is buying oil from ISIS. Turkey is a NATO nation, supposed to be on our side. The most effective fighting force we have against ISIS right now are the Kurds. They're organized, they're mobilized, they're courageous, they have an army, they've got troops on the ground. Turkey hates the Kurds. So they are attacking some of the Kurdish military force. This situation is so complex that it's beyond belief. The whole Middle East is a hot mess. We have a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia in Yemen. Yemen is a very crucial place in the Gulf, connected with waterways and oil transportation. And the Saudis had their man in there, and then Yemen went into a civil war and overthrew the guy that the Saudis like. And they have somebody in there. Now, the Iranians and the Saudis are therefore fighting to get their guys into Yemen. So there's a proxy war going on. And Saudi Arabia has purchased more military weapons than any other nation this year.
So do you think this bubble, Linda, is going to blow up?
Pardon?
Do you think this bubble is going to blow up?
I think it's more like a bunch of blow-ups, that ISIS will be. We are going to have every military man that I have seen interviewed on television recently says kind of the same thing. You cannot just go there and say, oh, we're going to carpet bomb ISIS. It just will not work, and it kills civilians more than it kills them. And there isn't a simple... it's not like the old wars in World War II where you had a front, you knew who you were fighting. It's not like that. It's like trying to hit a virus where you hit them in one area and they pop up in another area and in another area. And I think this, frankly, is going to go on for a long time. I do not see immediate solutions to this, unfortunately. I'm very pessimistic about this. For the time being, it's going to run its course. And I wish I could be more optimistic, but we've got these. Now, toward the end of this year, when Jupiter goes into Libra in September, there is some hope that we may feel around the time of the election and after the election, we may feel a little bit more hopeful about things in general, and that maybe we've gotten a handle on this. But this is when you have Saturn to Neptune, you have order meets chaos. Chaos usually wins the day. And people are so frightened, they do crazy things. When you have a breakdown in society and you're run by fears and you don't trust anybody, you feel that the people in charge have betrayed you, then whether it is in the Middle East with ISIS or whether it's over here, remember the worst terror attack we had before 9/11 was Timothy McVeigh. Remember him?
Oh, you can't forget him.
Yes, a lot of people have forgotten it. Domestic terrorism based on fear. And so that we have, people are, they know, I think, underlying things. People know this economy is fakery. This has been a fake economy. And we're going to see oil is down, the art market, the bond market, real estate is going to be coming down. Manufacturing has already dropped precipitously, and this nation is in massive, massive debt. The Europeans are in trouble all over the place. They have assumed a lot of debt, and they are, and the economies are cooling down all over the place. The Chinese stock market crashed in July. And they, by the way, in 2016, they will go into the world currency with the special drawing rights. The dollar is I've been predicting for years in both of my books that the dollar would no longer be the global currency, and that is coming around. There are so many complexities, and so many people know little or nothing about all this because we're not educated. One thing about Coast to Coast Radio, you have terrific people on that are truth tellers, that are really telling people what's going on. And so many other shows are not.
And we've got a listenership, Linda, second to none in terms of intelligence. You know, they may not all have gone to college, but they sure know world events, and they're street smart. And you know what? That's worth everything.
A lot of your people have done their homework. They really look into what's happening. They don't accept the standard pap that's handed out, you know. And that's why you've got this absolutely fabulous listening audience out there, and why I'm always delighted and feel privileged.
Well, let me ask you some fun things about predictions, Linda. And first of all, what is it that you use? What tools do you use to make these predictions?
Okay, well, I use an ephemeris, which is it tells me where all the planets are, what signs they're in, what direction they're moving in, the mathematical angles that they make to each other. I have a terrific piece of software that prints charts out for me. I just type in the date, time, and location, and that's basically, I use these astrological charts and this technology. And believe me, astrologers today have multifoliate technologies and different approaches. There are different kinds of astrologers. There are Hindu astrologers, which is a whole. There are Uranian astrologers. There's different types of astrology. But all of them tend, if they're good at what they do, they tend to come up with the same thing.
Yeah, they sure do. Okay, so with that knowledge in hand, let me ask you some things about space. Do you know, we just had a story, Elon Musk, of course, with his SpaceX, talking about how, you know, we got to leave the planet and go to Mars. What do you see over the next 20 years? In terms of our space,
yes. I think we will be sending humans to Mars. I think the big concern of Elon Musk and also his pal Richard Branson and everything is that we've destroyed. We're making ourselves extinct. With the pollution, the global climate change that we hear now so much about endlessly. I don't think he is an optimist about us. I think he thinks we have to find another planet to live on. I think that's
it's going to take a long, long time to terraform Mars to make it livable. Would you want to live in a bubble? I wouldn't.
No, and I think it's more of can we get a person there? As opposed to could we live there? We can't live. There's almost no atmosphere there. They have found liquid water, and they have found evidence that life was there before. But Mars is what we're looking at that we will become if we don't do something.
Well, that's true. Linda, we're going to talk about some ET life when we come back, and then we're going to take some phone calls with you. Linda Sherman, our guest, the astrologer on Coast to Coast AM.